She suddenly appended such an obvious hesitation to this reply, however, that Mr. Dombey, who had turned away, stopped and turned round again inquiringly. "I believe nothing is so good for making children lively and cheerful, sir, as seeing other children playing about 'em," observed Polly, taking courage. "I think I mentioned to you, Richards, when you came here," said Mr. Dombey with a frown, "that I wish you to see as little of your family as possible. You can continue your walk, if you please." With that, he disappeared into his inner room, and Polly had the satisfaction of feeling that he had thoroughly misunderstood her object, and that she had fallen into disgrace without the least advancement of her purpose. Next night, she found him walking about the conservatory when she came down. As she stopped at the door, checked by this unusual sight, and uncertain whether to advance or retreat, he called her in. "If you really think that sort of society is good for the child," he said sharply, as if there had been no interval since she proposed it, "where's Miss Florence?"
"Nothing could be better than Miss Florence, sir," said Polly eagerly, "but I understood from her little maid that they were not to—"
Mr. Dombey rang the bell and walked till it was answered.
"Tell them always to let Miss Florence be with Richards, when she chooses, and go out with her, and so forth. Tell them to let the children be together when Richards wishes it."
The iron was now hot, and Richards, striking on it boldly, it was a good cause and she was bold in it, though instinctively afraid of Mr. Dombey, requested that Miss Florence might be sent down then and there to make friends with her little brother. She feigned to be dandling the child as the servant retired on this errand, but she thought she saw that Mr. Dombey's colour changed, that the expression of his face quite altered, that he turned hurriedly.